honorable member, Advocate Inferno, and colleagues, members of the media, you are most welcome. We have apologies from Mr. Self, Mr. Smith, Mr. Bongo, and Mr. E. Lewis. I think I think without a waste of time, I'm going to allow Advocate Michel to address us, and just to say that I think this week we have been having problems with the arrangements of time, because we would have preferred to have you much earlier, and I think there were some challenges from our side, and you had to come this time. I hope we'll be able to do justice to your report, which we value so much. Honorable Chairman,
thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Once again, we feel it a privilege to have been called to appear before this august committee to make our presentation. We really appreciate the work. I will make just a few remarks which are not on the presentation itself, but you will understand why, and then I'll give it to the acting CEO. Maybe one of the issues I wanted to touch on it. I don't know if we informed that our CEO resigned with effect from the 1st of February. He indicated that he wanted to pursue his studies. We already have appointed a CEO. He's going to start on the 1st of May. So because he informed us in time, that gave us an opportunity to appoint somebody. She won't be here, but she's still in Bajula, the Asset Commission. That's why she's not there with us. So it's the new Komalo, and she will introduce during our next appearance. Another issue that I wanted just to mention for the information of the committee, because I know you may have read about it in the media, is a complaint that has been brought to us as a commission against the King. Following that complaint, we have had some few challenges as an institution of some threats which have been flying around. Our staff were receiving threatening calls, and there were some postings even in the Facebook. But we are looking at it to see how we can best deal with it. I just thought I needed to inform you that there are those challenges, but the investigation itself is going on smoothly so far. We don't have challenges as far as the investigation is concerned, but we just wanted you to know about that. We have an apology from Commissioner Mukate with the prior engagement and of a meeting which was arranged with some UN structures, and she apologized. Also, Commissioner Malachi has lost a brother, so he could not be with us. And with those few words, I will have to introduce the rest of the staff, as you know them. I'll call upon the acting CEO to start the presentation, and possibly will be followed by the CFO. Thank you, Chair.
Just to say that I think you are an independent organization, and that independence must be respected at all times. But you know, if I were you, I would take the view that this matter of the King has actually been exhausted, and the government has already done a lot to deal with that. And then the unintended consequence we have is that the day you produce reports, then we have another situation again, which means that we will not give the people of the country peace. We'll always be dealing with controversies and so on and so on. As I say, we're an independent organization. We have the right to take that decisions. But the only thing we investigate is what this man said. And different interpretations have been attached to what he said. And I don't know what else you can find in an investigation except that it will just bring other tensions. But anyway, these are my personal comments. They have nothing to do with the committee. I'm just saying that some of these dogs must be allowed to sleep. Honorable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really do want to avoid a repeat of the previous session. I'm very pleased that you should issue your personal comments and have nothing to do with the committee. Frankly, as you said, the organization is independent and they must investigate as and what they see fit.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to honorable committee members. In our presentation, the understanding is to provide a brief of our strategic plan. This is
pertaining competencies as well as financial management divisions.
Then we do have a chief audit executive who is responsible for internal audit function. We've got strategy support and governance that facilitates the processes of strategy planning and annual planning processes. The chief operations officer program is connected to the core kind of functions for the commission, and this actually entails the human rights advocacy and communications program or business unit. We've got the promotion of access to information, legal services unit, as well as the commissioner's program. All these kind of sections are situated at our head office in Gauteng, Transpac. Then we've got provincial offices across the country. We have 9 provincial offices, and the general track of those provincial offices are all headed by a provincial office manager. And then they've got more or less between five and nine kind of staff members within them, mainly being human rights advocacy officers. You have between 1 and 3 in each province, and then as well as same for senior legal officers, as well as legal officers and data officers. So that in essence the structure for the commission. To move into the overview of the strategy plan as well as the annual performance plan, I'd like really to start off by just briefly giving an indication of, based on our previous strategy plan and annual plan for the financial year 2014-15, just to give really a brief in terms of the current status. This is information now in data based on reported information from the year ending 2014-15, but this is yet unaudited kind of performance information, but we thought it would be important just give an overview of that, considering that we provided a plan earlier on in the last year of what we were intending to do for 2014-15. And that's some of the key highlights around that, is that the current estimate in terms of achievements against the plan, in terms of performance targets, would be maintained 87%. In the last year, we also maintained achieved 87% on our previous plan. We estimate that we will still maintain that 87%. And then there were areas where commissioners had undertaken really full participation in international and regional obligations activities. These are the activities involving the International Coordinating Committee of National Human Rights Institutions, African Commission, Women and People's Rights, and the Landry activities. We've also made several submissions in terms of relevant international human rights instruments, which are required from time to time by the respective bodies, human rights international bodies. We've also participated for various, to engage in various human rights based approaches. More than 200 stakeholder engagements were conducted by the Commission, where our high staff or commissioners have been involved in such engagements. We've completed a human rights advocacy report looking at a whole lot, host of events that were undertaken in relation to advocacy work that we conduct, including events or rather activities around business and human rights, which has been our annual theme for the last financial year. So a consolidated report has been prepared in this regard. In terms of finalization of complaints received, we have attained a level of 90% finalization of these complaints. This is against our target 85% for the financial year of 2014-15, out of a total of more than 8,000 complaints that were received or handled in that year. We've had also across provinces public outreach engagements. We've engaged with communities in terms of integrated services that the Human Rights Commission provides at community level. This is now to interact with the public and communities to ensure that we have wider reach as the Human Rights Commission. We've conducted national hearings. Various hearings were conducted on one on transformation in universities. There was one housing and service delivery. There was one on emergency medical services, and a few other hearings were hosted and conducted. We've also produced and completed statutory required reports in relation to the areas of equality, economic and social rights, as well as access to information, which we do and produce on an annual basis, looking at the state of all of those issues across the country. So that was just to really give a sense of how we have kind of performed and the highlight in terms of the previous plan that we had presented to the committee. Coming into the current strategy plan, 5-year plan of 2015 to 2020, the current plan identifies 90 strategic outcomes for the coming 5-year period. And for each of these outcomes, we have identified specific objectives that are aligned to them, as well as identified activities and associated impact in terms of these outcomes. The details really of the activities are contained in our strategy plan documents, as well as the data distribution documents that are contained on our website. The 19 strategic outcomes are then listed over the two coming slides, and I will just want to go into the briefly detail of each one of them. So the next two slides will just be a listing of the 9 strategic outcomes. First one of them being using the broader constitutional and legislative mandate. And what here really the Commission is looking to do is to deepen the understanding of the mandate by the Commission. And in doing so, having our legal and research teams putting together materials to ensure that as an organization, we give a comprehensive understanding of our mandate, but also try to share these relatives and respective stakeholders. Then there's an area around where we want to make sure that the shared mandate, where the shared mandate further requires shared responsibilities with other similar institutions. This would be collaborating with institutions that is the mandate, institutions such as the Commission for Gender Equality, institutions such as the Commission on Judicial and Domestic Rights, whereby we would partner in trade on certain and dealing with certain issues around the area of human rights. Following up on status of cases referred to other institutions, there are certain cases that we would receive which are best suited or rather best dealt with by the respective institutions depending on their focus kind of area. Where we've got our referrals, we then want to make sure that we follow up so that those cases are actually dealt with and followed through. Then we hope we'll perhaps engage in partnerships with civil society, including community organizations, faith-based organizations, traditional authorities and business. The other key outcome for the Commission is really engaging with the process of ensuring that we enact legislation, or rather legislation is enacted that promotes constitutional human rights obligations. And around this area, is the Commission would then engage around legislation to promote human rights obligations to ensure that our legislation in the country is actually human rights based, and engaging with legislative bodies and relevant stakeholders to actually do so. One of our key targets around this area on an annual basis is making sure that we as a Commission do submit on any proposed draft legislation and policy that has got any human rights element and implications. Enhancing the understanding of international and regional issues, the Commission in this area seeks to really promote ratification of international and regional instruments. This is in terms of various international conventions, and then as well as engage with several approaches and other stakeholders that participate in international and regional forums to enhance understanding of international and regional issues. This would be issues like networking with United Nations mandate holders on issues of human rights and also really kind of advancing for the positions of the Commission within these areas and these stakeholders. Promoting compliance with reporting obligations by the country on international and regional agreements. Where agreements have been undertaken and agreements have been made for the country to report in relation to certain conventions, as the Commission would then want to seek and ensure that there is compliance with such reporting responsibilities. As well as increase the awareness of these instruments in order to improve the impact of human rights. Enforcing protection of rights through various means such as alternative dispute resolution and litigation. As a Commission in compliance with Section 38 of the Constitution, would act on behalf of persons who cannot act in their own name in the public interest. And in doing this, we want to use alternative dispute resolution and facilitation methods wherever it is possible. And then we can then ensure that proper monitoring of implementation or agreed recommendations actually takes place so that we ensure that whatever conditions come out of investigations are then limited to ensure impact. Following that would be the use of litigation to enforce rights and challenge systemic problems where this may exist. One of the key areas in terms of our strategy is the Commission in the coming 5 years is to intensify advocacy and public outreach. And in doing this, we want to develop and implement an advocacy strategy that would actually improve the conceptualization of our advocacy programs, whereby we make sure that we structured and focused advocacy programs targeted at areas that are where we've got evidence-based public outreach and advocacy events actually conducted and implemented. This means that we would like to do kind of focused events based on challenges that may have been identified in particular communities, in particular areas, rather than just conducting advocacy work on ad hoc basis. We also want to be conducting baseline studies that would then inform our African interventions. So on the basis of such findings, we would then develop interventions, implement these interventions, and after a period evaluate the impact of the interventions around appropriation. The advocating for law reform would want to intensify in this area and ensuring that we bring about legislation that is human rights based, as well as integration of our outputs in order to enable advocates to develop a material based on the board recommendations. This is really around the consultation of the work that we do and looking across the various recommendations that we have made so that we're integrating the use in terms of those outputs. The other area relates to the strategy focus areas identified by the Commission and to which commissioners have allocated their work. In order to enhance effectiveness, the strategy, the structure of these focus areas has become a need for the Commission. In doing this, we want to ensure that, considering the interconnectedness and interdependence of rights, that as we identify and work around each of these focus areas, we do so in a much more concentrated way, so that we can realize greater impact. So it would improve coordination of similar independent rights, for example. We would want to ensure the broad mandate areas are also covered, and in this regard, in the last year, we had introduced an area around access to justice to ensure that the broader areas are covered. And also, this will also assist in terms of focus areas where the Commission now determines annual thematic focus areas based on some of these. Okay, the next slide just indicates the allocated strategic focus areas per commissioner, as well as the provinces allocated to our executive commissioners and the UX bodies as well. The next area is strengthening key stakeholder relationships. And for this, we would then develop advocacy materials that indicate and articulate or seek to articulate the position of the Commission across various areas of human rights and issues, briefing with parliamentarians and leadership, as well as issues around policy reviews to ensure that human rights thinking is strengthened within government and public bodies, relationships with the media, and ensuring that the use of media to promote advocacy. Those would be some of the issues for consideration. Developing our institution as a learning organization, ensuring that the Commission is able to become play a research convening role and become a human rights reference point within the country. And making the research that we do as widely accessible as possible to our audience within. We're working on developing a knowledge management system to ensure that we capture and store all research outputs and we're able to access other research by other relevant institutions in this regard. And as part of monitoring of policy implementation, we would want also to move into including an analysis of relevant budget allocation to ensure that those budgets are aligned to human rights approaches and that policy is implemented in accordance with, or rather, accessible and affordable reasonable budgets according to that. And then use our research to ensure, or rather to influence government policy and legislation based on the research that we keep through our knowledge management system. And the last area in terms of the key strategic outcomes for the 5 years is really strengthening the capacity of the institution to support the inquiry on our mandate. And issues such as the training of our staff, technical skills, such as the critical and core skills of the institution in relation to research and investigative skills, issues around legislative review, as well as the capacity based on increased sources would be some of the areas of consideration in strengthening our capacity. That would be as far as it goes in terms of the overview of the 5-year plan and key strategic outcomes. Now, zooming into the annual performance plan for 2015-16, our plan contains various strategic objectives linked and aligned to the key strategic outcomes as identified over the 5 years. One of those being the area of promoting compliance with international and regional obligations, fed to issues of participation in all these regional and international activities, making sure that we promote information and offer solutions and agreements that are taken from these activities. We also develop and commit an annual international human rights report that includes an assessment of progress related to commitments made by government on selected conventions and agreements. The Commission also seeks to promote submission of reports by South Africa. This is in relation to agreements and requirements where South Africa has to provide reports on a periodic basis. The Commission will promote the submission of that, as well as commit to reviewing the submitted country reports in relation to these instruments, as well as combined comments around them. The issue around UN mandate holders and the networking to enhance our understanding, I think I've alluded to that in terms of the key strategic outcomes. The one area of target around these objectives is a military framework to meet the implementation of the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. The Convention actually requires that the monitoring mechanism is set up in order to monitor implementation of this convention in terms of progress made around the issues of people with disabilities. And the Commission is working towards developing this framework so that it can start working in this area. The second or third objective two in terms of our annual plan deals with advancing the realization of human rights. And under this objective, the key targets relate to completion of an annual comprehensive system analysis report. This is a report that is based on all the complaints received within the financial year and reflecting statistically on what kind of complaints to receive, measure of complaints, and where do these complaints come from. And what we'll be doing in this current financial year in respect of this report is to include a comprehensive analysis in terms of urban and rural areas so that we can assist us in terms of ensuring to marginalize areas probably the previously marginalized or other rural areas. The other area is in terms of our report recommendations. The Commission produces a number of reports each year, and what we want to do now is to do a consultation of the recommendations that we've prepared or done in the past, and then to select and identify what key recommendations have come up and follow on or monitor this implementation of these recommendations. We find that we may have produced or made recommendations a few years back and probably nothing is happening in this area. So what we want to see is that the recommendations made by the Commission are finally implemented, because this is what will then move us towards impact in terms of the work that we do and realization of desired outcomes. Then we had a High Court judgment on the issues relating to refugees on the Vendela Repatriation Center and detention within that center. The Commission would then is developing a framework to monitor implementation of that High Court judgment so that as to ensure compliance with legislation within the center, so that to ensure that the rights of detainees are actually protected and promoted. So the committee is in the process of finalizing this and making sure that adjustment is actually monitored and combined with. An annual thematic area report will be produced in relation to the annual thematic area of business and human rights, which is a continuation of a theme that had already started in the last financial year, and we'll be completing that report in relation to the events undertaken and engagements undertaken within this area, and what the kind of findings to communications come out are in relation to issues of business and human rights, and looking really at the role of business in promoting and protecting the rights of individuals. A State of Human Rights South Africa report, which entails an assessment of realization of rights over the past 20 years, based on all or a number of the Commission's reports, in particular the statutory reports, one of these reports being the Section 183 Economic and Social Rights Report. So over the years, just to really a consolidated picture of what is the state then of human rights in South Africa, based on what the work that the Commission has done and all the various reports that it has produced. A public perception baseline survey, these issues of really baseline studies designed in the area that would then inform our planning going forward, inform our interventions and strategies. The Charter of Children's Basic Education Rights was produced and launched about 2 years ago. what we would want to do now is a baseline survey, really sampling quintile 1 to 3 schools, the province, just to learn to see how they measure against the standards reflected and set in the charter, so that we come to the charter that we made implementable, and we can go into perhaps provide recommendations of how such schools can be supported in terms of matching the standards in relation to what the charter recommends. The measures of economic and social rights indicators will be completed in order to enhance monitoring and reporting on economic and social rights. This is really to enhance work that we already do around economic and social rights. That's to make sure we've got appropriate and adequate indicators to monitor this right and to be able to pick up any challenges and gaps that we can see to improve. National hearings. In this financial year, we want to do 4 hearings in relation to the issues identified. One of them being discrimination in the workplace. This could actually look at issues such as racism, good issues, related issues of equality in general, issues of people with disabilities, and so on. And then we would want to do 1 hearing identified on healthcare, and another one would be then based on the convention statistics that we receive. And the complaints that we receive would then inform what kind of hearing can we look into. Strategic impact litigation cases, again, I've referred to the area where we want to do litigation as a commission, and for the financial year, we want to at least have instituted 2 cases in relation to identified systemic challenges. Translation of cases, we maintain and retain our 85% target around finalizing all cases received in terms of complaints received by the commission. Submissions of relevant trust legislation, we'll continue to do that kind of work, and we'll also be undertaking the scoping exercise for establishing a complaint intake center. This is to really up and improve on our complaints handling processes and mechanisms to ensure if we can be able to handle larger complaints through an intake center. The scoping exercise in terms of what would be required for this will then be undertaken. Third objective is enhancing and deepening understanding of human rights and enhancing the human rights culture. This involves stakeholder engagement, a number of several stakeholder engagements conducted, whereby the Commission really engages on broader understanding of human rights based approaches within the country. And some of the identified issues upfront already were issues around looking at reviews in terms of the older persons and looking at issues of disability, poverty threat, as well as transparency and access to information, especially in relation to municipal plans, budgets, and contracts, and the issues of access to inclusion at local government level. Are some of the issues that have been identified for engagement. Then public outreach element, I think I've alluded to again when I talked on the broader key strategic outcomes. We would want to do 27 in this financial year, which is key in each province, and this would be broken down to focus on peri-urban as well as rural areas, again for the Commission to ensure wider reach into these areas. One of them would then be looking at what has been done in the past as just as a follow-through to see what potential impact is coming out of this kind of engagement. The implementation of an integrated advocacy and communication strategy and plan, again in relation to our need or our identified strategy to enhance our advocacy work, we then have developed an advocacy strategy which really entails a
promotional health planning effort.
It would then include issues around materials, distribution, educational material, as well as strategies to engage with the media to promote advocacy. The Commission will be celebrating its 20 years of existence in October this financial year, and would want to reflect on the past 20 years in terms of key achievements, in terms of challenges, and in terms of what are the possible strategies going forward to improve in terms of the promotion and protection of human rights in the country. We'll be hosting an event in relation to commemorating this 20 years. An advocacy report will be prepared in relation to the event we've indicated earlier. And then we'll also be launching an access to justice campaign. Our access to justice being a new or relatively new focus area, then it will be launched within the first quarter of this financial year. The next objective is really deals with using and projecting the broader and constitutional legislative mandate two key areas in terms of legislation around this are the Promotion of Access to Information Act, and we've got several reports and activities in relation to access to information. One of them being the statutory annual Access to Information Act report that really looks at compliance of statutory institutions with the Access to Information Act. The areas of training and capacity building around awareness in terms of access to information. And the other key area really is around the promotion of equality and progression of Access to Information Act, wherein we produce an annual based equality report. The fifth and last objective deals with the internal organizational development or other effectiveness and efficiency issues, and this talks mainly to issues around ensuring review of our institutional governance framework just to ensure internal governance processes are streamlined, the establishment of IT-based system to stabilize our IT environment. This is linked to the strategy of ensuring that we have a knowledge management kind of system is also becoming that a research-based center for human rights issues. So we will definitely need a proper kind of IT systems around that to enhance that. Organizational capacity development, issues of training, training of staff, and so on. And then the area of gender mainstreaming is an institution we've moved into ensuring that we have our senior managers trained to gender mainstreaming, and this should be rolled out to staff in the coming financial year. Just to ensure that as an institution we've integrated gender mainstreaming into our budgets, into our plans, programs and policies. Then there are issues, all lots of issues around compliance, legislative compliance in relation to the identified legislation such as your Public Finance Management Act. As an institution, we would want to make sure that we are strong in terms of ensuring full compliance with legislation. The areas of knowledge management, I think I touched on, then the last areas are around issues of audit and dealing with audit findings, whether it's internal audit findings raised, and then ensuring that those are resolved, fully resolved, and then also the target is to maintain an unqualified audit opinion. The monitoring and evaluation report would also be undertaken just to assess really the state of the institution in terms of achieving and realizing on outcomes and impact. We will then do an assessment within the institution where we complete an institutional monitoring and evaluation report. The next part deals with the budget and really an overview. I think I've got just a few slides on this one. In terms of 2015-16, initially the budget for the commission was at 137 million, and during the mid-term budget review that was undertaken in November 2014, an additional 7 million rand was then allocated to the commission. It was divided into 2 million rand to fund appointment of an 8th commissioner, as well as 5 million rand to fund some critical sports that were frozen due to budget constraints in the previous years. Therefore, our revised budget allocation becomes 144 million. And that table actually shows the breakdown by the budget by the cost center. And as we can see, a huge component of our budget goes to personal cost, being 64%. And you can see the other areas in relation to corporate services, the areas marked in red, they make up more than 25% of our budget, which is about 28%. This leaves the for core operations really would leave about 8% of the budget allocated to core operational units. The personal cost salary adjustment was set at 7% as the directive by the National Treasury. And then in terms of these personal costs, that's a breakdown of the personal cost is listed where we have certain vacancies that we have to fill at senior management level for advocacy, operations, as well as appointing a civil and political rights contractor. Now the total cost is one that amounted to 5 million for filling in this financial year. Thank you, Chairperson. That would then conclude our presentation.
I think that's all, Chair. Thank you.
Now, before I open for an engagement, you are talking about human rights approaches. during, say, that starting day. Because in this country, or on the continent, we have had important human rights instruments. And we have had African reactions starting to the early 50s, when the International Commission of Jurists spoke about the rule of law in the African context. And we have had reactions like the adoption of the human rights, African Charter on Human and People's Rights, which clearly show that these human rights also are colored by people's cultures. So you can't just impose, you have to contextualize. So I hope sometime you have time to really tell us when you say human rights approaches, which ones are you referring to. But also, you see, our constitution is a product of a certain history, informed by 1923 Bill of Rights, 1943 Bill of Rights, 1954 Women's Charter, 1965 Freedom Charter, Arab Declaration, and also that of the Charter of Human and People's Rights. So I think it would be helpful that when we interpret our own constitution, we shouldn't be forgetful of what produced that constitution. Now, I also see that of all the engagements that we are talking about, unless if this public engagement is fair to what I suspect is missing, the question of human rights education. You know the unfortunate events which took place called xenophobia, which is something that we all have accepted, but which also has history into a labor dispute, which may mean that people know they have rights, but they don't know how to enforce those rights. They think that violence is the way to enforce these rights. Now the question is, are we really doing enough to educate our people? Because the Constitution is new, it's complicated. We are also seeing debate about powers in order to advocate, and judges disagreeing on the meaning of the Constitution. What about the ordinary people? What is it in your plans you have to do, rather than just having hearings, to educate the people on this? And then lastly, we talk about access to justice. You know, we had a story where a man complained for the court that his wife is not giving him counties. And now the magistrate says, now what is the problem? If he doesn't give you blankets, go and buy other blankets. Which shows you the problem of communication and the importance of indigenous African languages. Now all this good work that you're doing may become meaningless because the people who are going to benefit really don't know what we're talking about. Now, you go also to our universities. They teach everything in English as if we live in London. To be a lawyer, you are not required to even take one single African language. Whereas before, we were forced to do English, African, and Latin at the same time. Now, can we really say that people will have access to justice with this high literacy rate, or are we just doing this thing for compliance and pat ourselves on the back? Those would be my opening comments. Honorable Farrell. Honorable Kretelach, that there were reports that were due in January, and I haven't seen them, but I would presume that those reports were received. Maybe the chairperson can just comment on that. Certain reports on issues that were raised in October, maybe they were the plants or something, but we can follow up on that. That's similar to what happened this morning. So there are a number of issues arising from that, which I'm not going to go into now. There isn't time to go into all those issues. I think key to me is the concern that I've raised over many, many years, and that is the difficulty that the Human Rights Commission has in getting compliance from the executives. In particular, if you look at the xenophobia issues now, and the report that was brought out in 2010, which indicates, and we note the press release that you issued in April this year, which said that most of your recommendations following the 2010 xenophobia had not been implemented, nor acted upon by various government departments. And here we as Parliament need to assist the Human Rights Commission in this regard. They have been in power, they've got other powers, but clearly it is not helping. And it's an issue that seems to come up every year. So we've got the independent, the Deputy Speaker's office that this is an issue. But the forum, similar to what we raised this morning, this is an issue which we need to raise. But could I just ask whether you are still struggling? And I would presume the answer is yes. But xenophobia, there you brought out a report. You brought out early mechanisms, early warning systems, and it doesn't seem to have been implemented, because possibly had that been implemented, we would have avoided what we had so recently. So that's the first issue. Second issue relates to the issue of CIA and the progress that has been made with the information regulator, and I see in your plans that there's going to be a handover. So can we assume the information regulator, is that process ongoing? Although it's not strictly in your hands, but what is the process from your side? You continue doing the work until that other institution is instituted. And then lastly, there's a lot of issues, but we will engage at a later stage. I think, again, it's a pity we've got such limited time. It's nobody's fault, but it would have been good. Previously, we would have a whole morning or a number of hours to engage with the Human Rights Commission, because it's not often that we do get to engage like this. And I think it is something I've said before, we should try to engage more often. But the numbers of reports that you do bring out, it would be good if you just sent us a copy, just as a, you know, so that we can also just see the various reports that you bring out, so that we can also assist you where there is non-compliance or, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself because I've said this over a number of years, but hopefully we can, within Parliament, improve the compliance where the reporting has been instituted. Now, just on the Marikana issue, which we've raised continually, there's a reference that to the committee asked the Commission provided with a written progress report by 30 January 2015. I don't know if that was compliant. It was purely the progress report on your involvement in the Marikana Commission. So that was just thank you, Jeff, from our side.
I think we dealt with that matter by saying that the report brought to the Office of the Speaker, but that the relevant committees should get copies so that if there are urgent matters, we can put them on our agenda and deal with those matters. Otherwise, it would mean they produce reports for the archives, which will never be acted upon by anyone.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any reports, so hopefully we can raise that with the Office of the Speaker then, sir.
They must simply send us copies of the report that the student sent us. Otherwise, by the way, it's not going to help, because now, as you say, they produced a report on xenophobia. It hasn't come to this committee. So as far as you are concerned, it's not an issue. Honorable Grayson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Swartz asked very erudite questions and I'm largely covered by them. Just one issue, also on the xenophobia attacks. I see that the Nigerian Human Rights Group has laid a complaint with the International Criminal Court. Are you aware of this and what is... I beg your pardon?
I say
finished making my sentence yet, obviously. With the International Criminal Court, with regards to xenophobic attacks and against the hate speech of, what they term hate speech of King Rudolf Valentini. Are you aware of this complaint and does this have any effect on your investigation? And in 2008, you made draft recommendations which were not implemented, only partially implemented. Inter alia, you recommended a call for an interministerial task team. Do you know what became of any or all of these recommendations and why they weren't implemented? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the Human Rights Commission for the presentation. And I made a commendation for counseling him of the open. That's very commendable. I've got three questions, Chair. On the issue of access to justice campaign, which was scheduled for end of April, how far are you with it? If not yet, if done, then you can elaborate, if not, why? And again, issue of reported attacks, should in of post, especially provincial managers in Northwest and Free State, and other senior positions, as I forgot that slide. How far are you with it? And again, the outreach program, CEO made mention of the fact that you're going to have 27, three provinces in each. In what provinces such as Limpopo, KZN, and Eastern Cape, do you think three will do justice? And I'm afraid because you are going to focus on urban and peri-urban areas, forgetting rural areas, where this outreach program will be highly needed. And you can elaborate on your plan around gender mainstreaming, please. And again, issue of a number of women in senior management position and people with disability. As a human rights institution, you have to lead by example. Here in your delegation, I can see you only have two women. Four. Only two. Oh. Okay. Yeah, but I'm still not convinced. No, not women. Still, I'm not convinced because it appears all senior positions are held by men. Isn't it? Yes. Thank you, Chief.
Honorable Sir, I think you are supporting me for a good reason. Honorable Maina, thank you, Chair, and thanks for the permission for the presentation. Mine is on the issue of resolution of dispute. You see, in many rural areas, disputes are resolved through traditional courts, whereas we don't have legislation that regulates the issue of traditional courts. So I just want to check from the Commission because we interact with traditional leadership from time to time. Do you find the setup in traditional areas to be conducive to the enhancement of human rights? And if not so, how can you as the Commission treat in ensuring that disputes are resolved in a manner that will not transgress human rights in social and rural areas, in traditional areas? Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. I like the protest, this discrimination against men. I understand the chamber's that the mandate is very broad, and people may really hit you sometimes for what, like the gender, there's a gender commission involved. There are quite a number of other institutions that are concentrating on certain areas. Understand we can hit you unfairly. But I just wanted to check, how do you prioritize? There are certain things that are very key, like crime, how does it affect people? And you agree with me that you would rather not stay in the toxic. For one, like you'd be scared. The people who are staying there on a daily basis, they are so much affected by crime, and because they are poor, they cannot do anything. Also, people in the rural areas, they are affected by crime. Secondly, there are issues that are related to the fact that foreign language is being used generally in South Africa, that English, which is foreign to about 80% of the people in South Africa. How is this affected? In courts, for example, everything is completely foreign. And in various other institutions and information dissemination, everything is being done in the same manner as it used to be before 1994. I would have think, I'm not done, you people know how to turn around this. I would suggest that the concentration should be the question that needs to be answered. How many people are benefiting as a result of our existence? Who is benefiting because we are there as an organization? And how many of them? And how you judge how much is the impact you have and what impact you have? I would then suggest that these two areas. And of course, as the person has indicated, the question of culture. When say human rights, who rights, so what do you mean by that? So I would think that perhaps if you approach it from that point of view and say, this is what I would think, I would concentrate on. I would probably suggest that you will do concentrate on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the report that has been presented. Very informative and much appreciated. To also appreciate the fact that we are not really hammering on just money. You know, sometimes in some of the hearings we hammer on money, we want money, we want money. Which actually means that you understand the financial situation of the country and the austerity measures that we are applying. Because at the end of the day, we have so much of money, but if the country is in the position to manage to afford all of this financially. And I guess that actually goes hand in hand. If you look at the international treaties, the protocols that is actually approved as a country, I would wish to have you really looking at the financial implication of all this that we have ratified to the country. Because every treaty we ratify as a country has this financial implication. You can remember the football case and you understand this implication if you're going to actually have to make it a point that there is shelter for every child in South Africa. We have committed ourselves in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. You realize that the financial implication is huge, that the country cannot afford it. And this is something that you need to start looking at. And I do understand where we come from, because we come from a very difficult path. We have too much of an investment in South Africa. To really take every instrument that is about protection of rights that were so violated in the past. But the fact of the matter is in the process. We should overcommit ourselves to a point where at some stage it may look like we are really not doing our work as a country. Because once you ratify those obligations should actually then articulate it in action, action that couples these resources. So one thing that would be important, like I've indicated, is to really have some form of a report where you can actually just indicate to us as to what all this means. Because at the end of the day, within the same instrument that we may actually want to prioritize, and we can only prioritize once we do that kind of a study. And the baseline study idea or public perception, I think it's also important, because somewhere we would ask ourselves, are we making any impact? Are we making any progress in terms of protection of human rights in South Africa with the institution that we've got? And I think that study is very important that we intend to look forward to a report of that nature. And that would actually also be good if we do a consolidation of recommendations. I know in the background there's complaining that we know we submit recommendations to Parliament, and half the time Parliament is not really responding to all of the recommendations. But if we consolidate them, we can actually manage to look at those recommendations. We can be in the position to interrogate them, try to look at what has been implemented, what has not been implemented, what are the blockages. Because in all every process, you are going to find that there's absolutely nothing that can actually go on without it having some form of problems. But what is important is when you understand what is the problem, so they can be in the position to strategize around it. About Bahia, indeed, it will be good to actually be part of, to put us abreast the whole process of handing over to the information later, which I'm not sure whether it has been updated already. But it will be good for you to actually give us that type of information so that the committee is informed of the handover that's going to be taking place. Gender mainstreaming, I hear voices and they actually make me worried in the mention of gender mainstreaming. Immediately then, this is the completely a way of actually talking about the rights of men. We have come a long way about protection of the rights of women in South Africa. Let's not go back. We need to do this with understanding, with necessary sincerity, and it's not only about gender. I think this is all within the your strategy of participating in the transformation process of South Africa, and this was actually making reference to gender mainstreaming in terms of your own operations, not ever taking over the mandate of the Commission on Gender Equality. That's my understanding. And of course, Honorable Thabo actually said, why not bring in another dimension of disability? We have to actually also bring in a dimension of youth. We have to bring in a dimension of age. So at the end of the day, we actually also manage to achieve this goal of transforming society. And maybe when you do your baseline study, please also try to find out, do South Africans think that we are really going to transform the responsibility? Okay. Are we going forward or are we going back? Because when you talk about issues of gender today, what you hear is like, people are saying, but this is we're losing the game. Because if we are not proceeding in transformation, the family that's holding us back, we need to understand what is it that is holding us back. Because it undermines the very freedom and the positions of the democratic constitution that we've got. So we are hopeful that when we get the report, it will be something that's going to actually help Africa to advance. Because we depend on institutions like yours. Coming to xenophobia, I've heard voices say, previously you came up with reports, government didn't do anything about it. But the fact of the matter is, today now, we had a crisis. But what is unfortunate in South Africa is, half the time, when there is a crisis, we're going to find South Africans communicating in a schizophrenic manner. We never almost don't see problems in South Africa the same way. Why? We need to start actually interrogating that. Why don't we see problems in South Africans the same way? How are we going to defend the country as South Africans if we are not in the position to see the problem the same way? Sometimes we actually find ourselves even talking to other nationals against South Africa as South Africans. Something is not right. And it's things like this that we need to start interrogating so that we can be in the position to build on the peace that we actually managed to acquire. It's the peace that the peace and freedom, the freedom that has actually been acquired by so much of loss of life, people being incarcerated in prison and what have you. What we need to do is to take our freedom very seriously. And that will actually then start to make meaning of the intention of the very clearing of the constitution that are supposed to now help us to steer the country forward, instead of us getting a feeling that we are actually getting back. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the good presentation. You know, I've always been thinking about children's rights. Something that maybe your institution could do something about. You know, making sure that the children of the country grow up knowing their rights and responsibilities. It should not be an event once a year and it disappears. I think we should all strive to make human rights acknowledgement a culture of the country. And I was just looking at the budget, that maybe if you could budget, even if it's a small amount, to make sure that maybe you collaborate with the Department of Education in teaching the children of this country about human rights, but starting with their rights, but not only their rights, but rights and responsibilities. Because we also need to be very careful not to produce a society that only know about their rights and not their responsibilities. But also on a platform, you know, not very expensive platforms like community radios, for your institution to be quite there and talk about human rights. But when we deal with these rights, also talk about our responsibilities as citizens of this country. It should not just be about rights, and we mention nothing about the responsibilities. In that way, I think we are going to be able to build a responsible citizenship. And I think a small budget can go a long way to actually achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two issues. The one is in respect of the positive story that the Finalization Act of the Commission has over the last 4 or 5 years increased dramatically from 16% to 85%. But on the website of the Commission earlier this year, it was mentioned by the former CEO that it would seem that the underlying realignment of the Commission to achieve this better rate has come at the cost of lower levels of staff morale. So if you can have some feedback as to what the current situation is and how the Commission addresses this. And then secondly, Chair, the AG has last year highlighted the absence of an IT strategic plan for the Commission, and in this day and age of cyber crime and the rest, that is a matter of concern. So if the Commission can give some feedback as to whether an IT strategic framework or plan has been put in place since. Thank you.
Before you respond, we are talking about a domestication of international and regional instruments. And I have referred to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. And I have raised that before. But we never get to know what steps I will actually take to domesticate it. Now, you know, in the rural areas, we have community courts that are called traditional courts. I don't know why, because we have communities there. And their courts must be community courts. And we have a community justice system operating there. But here, everybody talks about alternative dispute resolution mechanism. Why are we ignoring what the people themselves have created and are using. Is that really disrespect for Africans and their creation or materials? For instance, when you use the ADR mechanism and you compare with how the majority of the people in the rural areas are operating, they don't have an adversarial system. They use an inquisitorial system. Their decisions are based on consensus, on restorative justice. And these approaches are much better than the Western approaches where someone must be guilty, someone must be a loser. There's no win-win. Why do we still prefer things that are not preferable to the communities and are not used by the communities? Another thing is, it's good to go to the rural areas and say we teach them human rights. But you see, human rights cannot only be looked at from the Western point of view. And because we look at human rights from one side, then we end up with a clash of cultures and clash of concepts of law, justice, and human rights. And in the process and in the long run, are we not alienating the people, even from this human rights culture that we seek to deepen and entrench? Take, for instance, the question of land rights. I think the biggest problem facing this country, which is going to destabilize the country, is a question of restitution of land. The court is dysfunctional, that land claims court. The land claims are never finalized. And without land, you can't have access to the natural resources. And poverty, unemployment, then grow. Shouldn't we really be also prioritizing, investigating why are land claims not moving? How are these land commissions functioning? Because however much we can teach about human rights, the concrete thing is that people want to eat, want jobs, and if they have land, they will have access to resources. They can deal with poverty on their own. Why are we not prioritizing things like that? I think that we should request to say Parliament said we want to see radical socio-economic transformation, and that also in our work we should assist government. Let's bring about this radical transformation, because if we don't radically transform, these questions of xenophobia, we can have campaigns about them, they will continue, because everybody wants to eat, and a competition for something to eat, and then people tend to violence. And maybe the last question would be, if our human rights education programs are effective, why is it that now the majority of the people have tend to use violence instead of respecting human rights? Anybody who is not satisfied, they use violence, violent protest. Why are they not respecting human rights? Doesn't that say something about the efficacy of our human rights education, or if we are not doing it at all? So I think we should really begin to focus our attention to programs which address the current situation that we have, other than just doing things for the sake of doing them.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You know, having listened to all the questions that were asked, and I believe a lot of them have got very good answers, I'm not sure that time will allow us. Because you're asking questions about land, gender, we have got a story that we can tell. And the problem now is time, and we really feel we are not doing justice to the work that we as a commission are doing and would want to share with you. Well, we need that time, Chair, because these issues are very who wanted to share with you and to hear your views. Because each one, as you talk higher, you talk land, you talk gender mainstreaming, if I tell you how many women are adding provinces, you'll be surprised. But because you say it and you leave us to go, the media goes with the impression that no, there's no gender, women are not occupying positions. Already we are seeing all it's a feeling. And I think four, if I'm not mistaken, four provinces are female right now, I think. But all I'm saying, I'll give my commissioners to answer the questions that they can answer, each one of them, so that we see how far we can go, and then I'll join in.
No, this morning we offered the public protector 3 hours to come back. She refused the offer. Now I want to offer maybe an offer for you on Tuesday. Can you come back on Tuesday?
On Tuesday we've got the scheduled commissioner's meeting. Commissioner's meeting. Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what is on the agenda. But to be honest, we do need time. I'm serious. Because I don't want to go back with the questions which we can answer fully, but because of time, we try to short circuit them and go with the impression that what was said is the truth.
It's not really more about questions. I think we are doing very well, and the work that you do can actually help guide the whole country if only it could be known. But we are sure that you are reports are known even by us at Parliament. So that's why we would prefer to offer you time. So when we go to report to Parliament, we are also able to share with Parliament insights from your work, because we really can't explain why South Africans use violence to solve their problems. As the President did indicate that people are angry. And if people are angry, means there's something they don't understand. Now the question is, what is it that you can or are doing to deal with this people's anger? Because it can lead to unprecedented situations.
Sure, we can talk as commissioners. It's only that this came when I'm speaking. I haven't spoken to my commissioners. I mean, we can negotiate that, because I'm serious, I'm eager, you know, I've looked at the questions and I know we have got answers to many of the questions, but we also would want to answer you so that you can, at times where we are going, we can also share your views, and that's the kind of interaction that we want. This thing of just talking a second and leave a letter hanging, we don't benefit, you also don't benefit. We do need your advice, because when you have time, you do give very good advice, which we appreciate. Yes. We will quickly put it in front of other commissioners, so that, you know, that's the other problem. It's with commissioners, we have to make sure that we have them. Like children's rights, it's good to have somebody sitting here. Yes. No, we are ready, prepared to look at that. I think this is a general agreement, because these are very good questions, and we really want to do justice to them.
Again, there's also the alternative to immigrating responses as well. That obviously it is better, as I said earlier, to engage and follow up, but if you can't make it, there are two ways, either written or an alternative thing to say, but we are under pressure as well. So something to engage with, thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
To engage directly, we need to give the hope to the people of this country, because they know we are talking, and they need to see what is the relevance of all this into their lives. Honorable Sola.
I was just supporting what you are saying, Jefferson. because Chairperson Muswana has indicated that they would also like to hear our advice, because they value advice. That is what he said. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm not saying we cannot answer some. I mean, my commissioners are ready to answer some of the questions. But for how long, I don't know.
I don't know the question. Yeah, I don't know what the question is. Yeah.